Bem-vindos ao Antes Tech do que Nunca, o podcast que ajuda você a lidar com a transformação digital na prática. E eu estou aqui direto do Expo Center Norte, onde milhares de pessoas estão acompanhando o Universo TOTVS 2024, que está muito legal. E a gente montou essa estação de bastidores, onde um tanto da programação dos grandes nomes que passam pelo palco estão aqui com a gente dando uma entrevista. E eu tenho a honra de receber um dos maiores fotógrafos do mundo, uma grande celebridade, que é o Platon. E ele, na verdade, nasceu na Grécia, morou a vida toda na Inglaterra, hoje em dia ele é baseado em Nova York, então ele não fala português, fala inglês, e eu vou conduzir esse papo aqui em inglês. Então é isso, convido todo mundo a seguir essa conversa e ouvir esse e os próximos episódios que a gente vai fazer aqui no Universo TOTVS 2024 em podcast.totvs.com. So, it's really nice to have you here. Thank you, Platon.
I was listening to your introduction, and it's such a beautiful language. I wish I spoke it. It's one of the most poetic sounds of a language you could ever have. So, congratulations for being part of such a beautiful culture.
Oh, thank you. Is it your first time in Brazil? What is your connection with the country?
I've been in Brazil quite a few times. I worked with your football players many years, and I've traveled through neighborhoods where people were doing very well, but I've also had the privilege to travel through neighborhoods where people are really struggling. And I always try to find the sort of community and humanity that links everybody together. So I feel I've had some great times in Brazil, and I'm happy to be back.
And what is your impression about the country and the people here? What do you think, like, is this common ground that connects people here?
Well, you know, something's happening in society around the world right now. People are feeling very uncertain about the future. We have more information than we've ever had before, more connectivity because of technology. But I'm not sure it's brought peace of mind to people. Now there's a lot of discussion about AI, and I think everyone's very excited about this new technology. You hear a lot of discussions about it, but we're forgetting what the A stands for. The A stands for artificial. My work is about the opposite. I've dedicated my life to authentic human experiences between people, and I think more than ever, if you look at society, all these people who are walking behind us with this glass, I think people want something human. And they certainly want it from their leaders, whether it's in business or politics or in any kind of leadership. I think people need to be authentic with each other, and they need to stop pretending that to be kind means you are now vulnerable. Kindness is strength. Courage and kindness mixed together are two of the most powerful sides of humanity. If you look at history, all the people we admire the most always were strong and were kind. And if you look at what's happening around the world, those are the two things that people care deeply about. Most politicians don't seem to understand that. Business leaders, I think, have to understand that. In order to be successful, they're much more in tune with society than I think many politicians are. And that's why I believe that business leaders will lead us into a better place, much more than politicians.
And do you think, like, it's possible to use this technology and even AI, as you said, to kind of pursue these ideals of vulnerability and empathy, compassion, all these values that you put, like, it's important nowadays?
We've always discovered new tools to help us in society. It's not the tool that's important. It's how we use it. To be human means that you have two sides of your character. You have a side that is almost like a little devil whispering to you to tempt you to that darker side. or you have the side that's sort of instinctively drawing you towards something that's about good values, purpose in life, a life of duty and service. And we're all stuck somewhere between those two extremes. And a good life is when we spend our time trying really hard to push ourselves towards the right side. And it's difficult. And no one is 100% perfect. I've seen humanity play out in front of my camera for decades, and I can tell you no one is perfect. What's interesting is that we try, that we constantly push ourselves to be at our best. The same way an athlete pushes themselves to win the race. The same way a musician pushes themselves before they walk on stage so that they can be at their best for their audience. We have to push ourselves to be better. And anyone who's a parent will know when your children are dependent on you, whether you feel like it or not, you have to be there for them. And that's leadership. I wish a lot of our political leaders around the world could exhibit the same leadership skills that a mother of three children exhibits every day of her life. To me, she's a hero.
It was beautiful in the stage when you said about the Snowden case, that he was saying something related that you are talking right now about, like, it's not about to be right or wrong, it's about to do your best or something like related to that. It was really beautiful, and I love to listen to that. And listening to you right now, I'm thinking, as you said, you saw a lot of like the great leaders, the great people that everyone is inspired for the good or for the bad, but it's like people that are kind of ruling the world. Do you think like there is a common characteristic that connect all these people and maybe can be something related to trying to do to be their best versions? Or what do you think like connect all of them?
Well, something really interesting is happening right now. You're seeing a realignment around the world of how power really works. There are very powerful forces pulling us all apart right now. Whether it's political forces, whether it's technology with, I think the dark side of technology, a lot of social media thrives on division and tribalism. But humanity is, all the way through history, has always corrected itself. And what you're now seeing is the correction. People are exhausted with feeling angry. People don't want to feel outraged all the time. It's exhausting on your senses. You can't sustain it. Feeling suspicious, feeling resentful. These are not good physical things to live through, to experience all the time. People want to be optimistic again. They want to be part of something beautiful again. And we're seeing, I feel very privileged to be part of a new revolution that's human, where we are saying we are not enemies. We might think differently. We might have different ideas, different ideologies, different beliefs, but there is so much that we have in common, and maybe I can't do it alone. Maybe I need you to help me fix the problems of our time. Maybe it takes two sides of the coin to fix a problem. And I think people are realizing that. I think the interesting thing is that politicians are not, but the people know it. And that's an amazing thing to be part of. And you're witnessing that seismic correction go on, not just in Brazil, but all around the world. People want truth. They don't want hypocrisy. They want democracy. Democracy is actually an ancient Greek word. And I'm Greek. So it comes from two words put together. Demokratia is the ancient way of saying democracy. It comes from the word demos and kratia. They put the words together. Demos means the people. Kratia means power. It actually means power to the people. Now that is what we're seeing happening around the world. And I have seen people who have been robbed of all power do beautiful, heroic things for each other. I'm not naive. I've seen the horrors of society, but in those darkest corners, you find the truest of hearts. And that's what gives me hope about humanity, that we are so resilient, that we are so powerful. If we work together, together we're strong. And I was told that the theme of this event is really about people. That's what I talked to Dennis about, your CEO. That's what we talked about. We didn't talk about money. We didn't talk about technology or business. We talked about people. We talked about values and how to be a good father, how to be a good husband, how to be good to your family and be good for your business if you have responsibilities to your colleagues at business. And I found him to be one of the leaders of our time, that his value system's in the right place. Yeah. That's very reassuring, considering the uncertain times we're living in.
And what do you think, like, is the role of the brands in this process of pushing these values, like the good values of the society,
brands,
as you said? Yes, the companies and the brands, what they
well,
can do?
Branding is a very interesting word. I have seen over and over again people who become celebrities, who become very successful, idolized by society. They become a brand eventually. And we talk about it very casually now, so-and-so is a brand. But when you meet that person, I've seen that eventually you start to separate from the brand, because the brand is like perfection. The brand is someone that never makes mistakes, never fails, always succeeds. And the person can never live up to the brand. We make mistakes. We're human. We cross the line between right and wrong all the time, even within 24 hours. We're not saints, but we do the best we can. The important thing is, can we be honest about our failures of yesterday? And can we have the courage and the humility to say, okay, I was wrong yesterday. I made a mistake. Teach me to be better today. I'm prepared to learn. I'm prepared to apologize. I don't care. I've got no pride. What's important is that we improve. To be agile like that as a leader today is very, very hard. And it's also very hard as a brand, because so many brands have gone wrong in the past and they've been caught out. Yeah. So it takes a lot of courage and humility of a brand or a leader to constantly correct. To be in power now means to serve, to share, and constantly check yourself. That's actually proper leadership.
Yeah.
Agility and the capacity to say, okay, we went wrong, but that doesn't mean we have failed. What's really important is the amazing attempt to improve. That's always forward looking.
It's a mindset shift, isn't it?
It is. It's a hard thing to do, because leaders were told in the past that you must never show vulnerability, that you should never admit that you're wrong, because people will see that as weak, especially women in positions of power. I actually think women in positions of leadership today, maybe it's might be controversial, but maybe they're better equipped to deal with the challenging times. The feminine side of leadership, whether it's a man or a woman leading, there's masculine and feminine sides of leadership. Feminine side is traditionally to ask questions, to seek guidance, to move with your partners together. Masculine side traditionally is to say, I have the answers, I can do this alone, I am the best qualified to do this alone. And in today's troubled times, I think that that can go horribly wrong. So sharing, asking, humility, curiosity, more than judgment, these are all really powerful skills to have today.
And do, are you seeing that in the whole world? Do you think that it's just for the leadership? Or do you think like those are the values for everything?
Well, the people know. The people around the world, we are not stupid. The people understand what's going on. And one thing technology has done is opened the door for everyone, or the window for everyone to see what's going on. And that's an amazing thing. And you're seeing people wise up now. You know, a leader who's faking it eventually is going to be caught out. So you might as well be honest and show your vulnerabilities, accept them, and share them with the people. They'll probably see themselves in you if you dare to be as human as possible. But that takes guts and courage. And this is a time of steady nerves and a lot of courage.
Yeah. And when you look to your work, that is like decades and a lot of like really nice portraits from all these like really important people. Is there something that you've learned that you want to share, that you think like this is something that make me find my uniqueness and my authenticity in my work? Because it's super impressive to see how can you are portraying people that we saw so many pictures of all of them, but when we saw your picture, it's so unique. Do you know how can you achieve that?
The most important thing is the human connection. You know, since COVID, we all thought we could rely on technology only to keep us connected, because we were physically separated from each other, and technology empowered that connection at a time when we couldn't be together. But you can never replace a genuine human connection between people. It's what we strive for all our lives through history, through the history of mankind. The most amazing moments are when we connect. Now, when I'm photographing someone, whether they're a very powerful person or whether they've been robbed of power and they're an ordinary person like us, it's irrelevant, their journey. What's important to me is that I find a connection. It's a bit like, you know, an old-fashioned radio set. And maybe in your car, and you're turning the dial and you're trying to tune in to your favorite radio station. Sometimes the signal is very strong and very clear. Sometimes it's lots of static and noise and it's not clear. People are like that. Everyone has their own frequency. Everyone's frequency is completely unique and special. And my job is to tune in to your frequency. And sometimes it's very easy. It's a clear signal. Sometimes it's not a clear signal, and it takes a lot of concentration to tune in. But if I'm able to tune into your frequency, it's the most amazing physical, emotional, human experience I can have. It's 200% alive. That's what it's like. Now, sometimes when you connect with someone, it can be very volatile, because I'm tuning into what that person is experiencing in life or has experienced. And maybe that person is in trouble. Maybe that person is deeply hurt. Maybe that person is really angry. And if I'm tuning into their frequency, I'm going to feel those things. They can't hide them from me. But if that person, on the other hand, is in a good place, I also get the privilege to tune in to those emotions too. One is not better than the other. It's always a privilege to share a human moment with someone. And I can tell you that some of the best moments in my life have been shared with people who are not famous, people who have been ignored by society. and the magical things we share together, you know, make me a better person. So that's a life of great privilege.
And when you look to your process of this, like turning in the frequency of the people, have you already, because I can imagine it, that's something super, that is hard to teach other people, and to have like a team or other people working to you, is something super unique about your personality, or no, or something that you can teach, do you know? Have you think about your own process, or do you think like it's something super personal?
Well, I've always had a healthy disregard for power, which helped me a lot. Because when someone powerful walks in the room, we're all made to feel a little bit inadequate. You know, oh my goodness, so-and-so just walked in the room. I better fix myself up. Is my hair okay? Why are we doing that? What do we care? I think I've always been able to say to myself, we're all equal. We're all the same. We all have a right to be here. And now when I meet a president or a world leader, I no longer think, wow, I'm in the presence of, you know, a super famous person. I now think, wow, you have so much responsibility on your shoulders. And I hope you don't mess it up, because a lot of people are hoping that you will lift their lives to be better. That's a different mindset. And the world leaders who sit for me know that I see that reality. And it allows us to have a different kind of conversation. A proper conversation.
Yeah. And do you think like the, because I was seeing the pictures when you are on the stage and the histories behind that you are sharing, and of course that when you look to this piece of art that you are making, you can see like all the bias that are embedded on that, do you know, like it's kind of the way that you think about something, or the context around it. Of course, you said a lot about context.
Yeah.
Do you think like we are doing the same with technology and all the algorithms and systems that are kind of bringing and attaching our bias?
I think technology is only a tool. It's a tool that helps us. It only becomes interesting when it empowers our lives. Technology on its own is nothing. It's just a thing. It gets interesting when it makes our lives better. That's interesting to me. Trust now is a big, big word. Trust. It's one of the most important words of our history. People want to trust someone, but they've been let down in the past. And when that happens several times, people become cynical about trusting blindly. So I've learned this in my work, that I always have to earn my sitter's trust. And sometimes the person who is not famous, I have to work even harder to earn their trust. I once went to a march near the border of Mexico and the USA, and I was covering the story of immigration, which is a huge issue right now around the world.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at refugees and immigration, this is driving global politics. And I went to a street parade promoting immigration. And I saw many families marching, singing songs, waving flags. And I saw a mother marching with her daughter, who was 3 years old. It was a little girl called Evelyn. Evelyn was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Free my dad." It was hand-painted letters. Evelyn is a US citizen. Her mother is a US citizen, but Evelyn's father was not. And he was caught at the border without proper paperwork, and he was deported. So this young family is now torn apart, and their future is very uncertain. He was the main money earner in the family, and he was the husband, and he was the father. So I saw this picture, and I rushed up to the mother, and I said, "Wow, your little girl looks so great." And she was singing and marching songs. I said, "Can I take her picture?" So the mother said, "Sure." I invited them to where I was set up. I had my white background against a wall with my assistants. So when they came over to where I was going to take their picture, the little girl saw my camera, the light, my assistants, and she got spooked. So she hid behind her mother's legs like this. Now, that is not the picture I wanted to take. I didn't want to photograph a frightened little girl running. I wanted to photograph an empowered young person looking forward with optimism. So to earn her trust, I had to play balloons with Evelyn for 5 hours. Right? 5 hours, man. Eventually, she turned to me and she said, "Picture." She was ready. I took a picture of her, and she looks cheeky. She looks fun. She has the power of a young spirit that's beautiful. And I turned to the mother and I said, "Wow, I think I've taken one of the most important pictures of my life, because with this picture, I can help stimulate a respectful debate about immigration that's not about politics, it's about people." The mother turned to the little girl and she said, "The photographer is very happy. You did good." And the little girl said, "Mummy, if I did so good, does that mean Daddy can come home?" Now, that is the human side of this complicated political issue. But the bigger story is trust. I had to earn Evelyn's trust. I was not entitled to it. I know I photograph famous, powerful people, but that didn't mean anything to a 3-year-old little girl. What mattered to her was just sharing a human experience and playing balloons with her. Now, I never had to play balloons with your president, Lula, or with Obama. I never had to earn their trust in the same way. All the movie stars and rock stars I've photographed, I never had to spend 5 hours earning their trust. But a little unknown girl who faces great adversity in her life, I had to earn her trust, and rightly so. And I'm proud to have done it. So that's what's important. And I realize that it's not just my story about being a photographer. It's all our stories. We all have to earn each other's trust. And once you've earned it, you must not abuse it. You have to do something great with it and be responsible with that trust. And I'm very proud to share that little girl's story with you today. And the mother would be very proud that we're going to reach millions of people with that story. So I am honoring the trust that was placed on my shoulders.
And the images are impactful, aren't they? They can like change lives and change like the course of the history. I'm sure that you saw that a lot of times.
Yeah, they can. And like I say, human stories, it goes back to the beginning of mankind. You know, this is how we communicate. We tell stories about each other, about our families, our values, our hopes, our dreams, the pain we feel. These are all human stories. We go to the movies and we see a great movie. What was great about it? Is it the special effects? I don't think so. It's the characters. It's the characters in the movie that made us feel something, especially if the characters rise above adversity and change something for the positive. That's what we love, because we want to do it ourselves. It's the most beautiful thing to talk about an example of someone being great, because it inspires us to be great too.
Yeah. And for whom you are inspired? After so many people that you saw, after so many things that you are following, who inspires you?
We're talking about greatness. If you just take the word great, there's one person who was connected with the word greatness, and that's Muhammad Ali. He was known around the world as Ali the Greatest. He used to even say it himself, "I am the greatest." So I had the privilege to work with him in his home. And actually, it was one of the last photo shoots he ever did before he passed away. He was very ill. And during the shoot, I got very emotional, you know, because for me, like, to be in front of a hero is a huge thing. Even if he's not well, I was so privileged to be there. So I said, "Muhammad, you are the greatest. It's a fact. But can you teach me to be great? How can my generation, how can we be great like you had to be in the 1960s? Dealing with race, dealing with division of politics, dealing with hypocrisy in society." Now, he couldn't speak very well because he was very ill with Parkinson's, so I had to get close to him, and he whispered in my ear, and he said, "I have a confession to make." I said, "What is it?" And he said, "I wasn't as great as I said I was." And I freaked out, man. It's like, that's the biggest confession you could ever hear. But his eyes tightened. And then he said, "You misunderstand me." He said, "I'll tell you what was great. And it wasn't me. It was that people saw themselves in my story, in my struggle." And then I realized, if we see ourselves in a story, then we have the chance of together being great. And it's not you or me that becomes great. It's something much bigger called bridge building. We build a bridge between each other. That's a beautiful thing. We get to walk over the bridge, meet halfway, and have a conversation. And normally those types of conversations are so exciting to hear about the other side, to hear about another person's life. That's what we all live for. Have we become so frightened to hear another point of view? Really, are we that weak and vulnerable that we can't hear another person's value system? Is it that offensive to listen to someone who disagrees with you? Are you not capable of listening and being interested in someone else's story? I fundamentally think we are strong. We are so resilient. I've seen it. And people can take a lot more than we've been told. We've been told we're weak. We're not weak.
And when you look like the past years, all the photographic equipment changed a lot, like since you start to work, and now everyone has a camera and your cell phone, everyone are taking photos. How do you see that, you know, this democratization of the pictures, like this idea that everyone is like a photographer, but at the same time, it's a different role, you know? So,
well, I think it's amazing that everyone's taking pictures. We've got more photographers in the world than we've ever had in history. Everyone's a photographer, and now everyone's a filmmaker too. Some of the most important historic moments in our time, like if there's a tragedy somewhere, that's normally captured by everyday people because they're all journalists now, you know? In America, 9/11 was really the first time that a big event was not really covered by professional journalists, although many of them rushed there. It was the ordinary people who were there. So I think that's an amazing thing. And everyone's being held accountable now on video. So that's all great. What I don't love is that everyone is now has an opportunity to fake things. Andy Warhol once said, in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes. And he was so right. But it's much more than 15 minutes. It's permanent. We're all famous all the time because we're all doing selfies and we're all posing just like celebrities do, making sure the right filter so our skin looks nice. And I see young people sometimes having dinner together and they're both sitting there texting somebody else or taking pictures mm-hmm. of the cocktail or the dinner instead of putting the phone down and having a conversation. So at what point does photography distract us from the human connection?
It's a paradox, isn't it?
It's a paradox. Again, the tool is irrelevant. What's important is us, and that we try our hardest to value a genuine connection between each other. And everyone who's listening now knows what I'm talking about. You know the magical times in your life when you connected with someone or some friends or loved ones. It's the bit that drives you forward. It's a magical thing. Very special.
Do you think like this paradox of the intention is the same way that you can look for the use of AI for artistic language? So we know that there are a lot of people kind of complaining about how can these new tools can be used for make art that is not like exactly a great piece or something. But at the same time, there are other people saying, oh, if you use it with a different intention and are really like connecting some dots, you can make like some artistic stuff from mm-hmm. that. So I don't know, how can you look like all this process of AI and the languages and the arts?
For me, art is an expression of being alive, being a human being. If we look back at, you know, our favorite musicians or painters or dancers, these are all, it's so honest as a process. So many beautiful painters in history express their pain, you know, their vulnerability, their feelings, their emotions, sometimes joy too, and it goes into the art. And when you look at like a painting by Van Gogh, for instance, you can see his struggles in his brushstrokes. That's why people love his paintings. And again, AI is A for artificial. So I'm not saying you can't use tools to make great art, but great art comes from your heart. It comes from your human experiences. And if the tool dominates, then it's no longer great art, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. I think, I can't see why people would be so excited that a computer is faking something. If you want real art, it's happening all around you. Just be respectful to people. Keep your eyes open, ask questions, be curious. You will discover the wonders of history all around you all the time.
No, really good. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience or connect to the event, something to finish it?
Well, I photographed George Clooney once in his garden in Hollywood. And he was a really great guy. We've worked together quite a few times. And I said to him, George, you are a very famous person. People see you as perfect. You're a great actor. You're very handsome. You never make a mistake in the public eye. You're always respectful. I don't think I've ever seen you get into a fight with anyone else. I've never seen you drunk. I've never seen you messy the way we all are in life. Tell me about the times we're living in. And he said, we are living in extraordinary times. He says, you've got more information than you've ever had before, more connectivity, and yet we seem to know less. It's what I said before. And that magical thing called a shared experience is rapidly in danger of being, is disappearing. But I'm talking to you, and we are here. And there's people all around us. And what I'm talking to is not just you. It's a beautiful thing called the shared experience. We're different people. We both showed up. We're both having a conversation. We're sharing ideas. And then we're going to project those ideas to many, many other people who weren't able to be here. We're using technology to share a side of humanity that's really important. And I don't think we're in danger of losing our humanity. The fact that we're here having this conversation is a beautiful thing. I really believe society is about to correct itself and replace pessimism with optimism. I really believe people want to rekindle the spirit of optimism and work together again. They're tired of being apart, they're tired of being angry at each other, and they want to be curious and find out how your neighbor lives, what your neighbor thinks, what your neighbor feels. It's so interesting. So we have to be brave. To reach out with the open hand of friendship takes courage. You might be disrespected. Your colleagues that you reach out to might take advantage of your openness. But I guarantee you, I've had a privileged life of reaching out the open hand of friendship for nearly 40 years. And sometimes it doesn't go well, but it doesn't kill me. I'm still here. But by far, 99% of the time, reaching out to somebody creates the most beautiful connection that I am proud to have experienced. So if I could send a message to anyone, I would say, be brave, be courageous, be agile. If you made a mistake, correct yourself.
Yeah.
Apologize. So what? The chances of you having a better life in the future after that correction go up.
Yeah.
So let's not be proud. Let's not be judgmental. Let's be curious and kind and strong, but let's do it together. And if we join forces, that's a revolution around the world that is starting to happen. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
I agree with you. Thank you. Thank you. It was really nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good luck.
Bom, a gente encerra aqui esse episódio. Queria convidar vocês para ouvirem os próximos episódios. A gente está aqui na Expo Center Norte, onde está acontecendo o Universo TOTS 2024, com muita gente bacana passando por todo o evento. E a gente está aqui nos bastidores fazendo algumas entrevistas, que vão ficar todas em podcast.totos.com. Não deixa de acessar e compartilhar. Até a próxima.